This episode of An Abundance of Not is brought to you by Amazon.com. Amazon affiliated with us. We're very happy about it. Please go to anabundanceofnot.com. Click on the Amazon banner and do all your shopping as normal. Bookmark for ease of use. We appreciate it.
And TLDRGamer.com. When you don't have a whole lot of time to read the gaming news and just want the brief excerpts, visit TLDRGamer.com. for the core info. Thank you to them for the hosting and bandwidth for our podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome in to An Abundance of Not. We are causing all sorts of problems here in the pregame show. Garrett here, Brad and Wade. And it is August the 6th. Wade's Friday, which means it's Wednesday for the rest of us.
Yay!
Hooray! Hump day!
Oh yeah!
For the record, though, the problems we were causing in the pregame were not technical difficulties.
No, not yet.
We were.
thanks for bringing that up. Now we know. What's that?
I said we were busy giving each other a hard time.
Easy. This is a PG show, sir.
I know.
Yeah.
Very difficult.
Yeah, but thanks for bringing up technical difficulties. Now we're almost guaranteed to have an issue, so knocking on wood right now.
We'll be good.
All right.
Oh, I got wood right here. We're good.
See? All right. Everyone's knocking, but Yay. Nobody's home. So how are we doing?
We are doing just wonderful. How about you?
I'm fantastic.
Little Marvelous. Good, little bad, a little bit of both.
Yeah, that's life.
You know, in fact, I'm going to make that a running theme for this. My section of the podcast.
Doing a little good, doing a little bad, a little bit of both.
Wow, don't.
And there went our 7 minutes of musical.
Shut up. It was
7 seconds,
it was
sorry.
Something.
Yeah.
I don't.
It was something.
Yeah, it was something.
Moving
These are
on.
Jerks. Yeah, moving on. So, since I know Wade's weekend, Brad, how was yours?
Wow.
Wade's weekend hasn't started yet. My weekend was really good.
Okay.
Riveting.
Moving on.
I got redirected for work and placed in a location where the most economical way for me to get home, as far as the company was concerned, was to drive. So I took a rental car, and the rental car that they gave me was a Camaro convertible.
Did you sign for the extra insurance?
I think women say insurgents, which apparently you're joining a terrorist group.
Extra insurance. Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
And took that thing off some sweet jumps, I take it.
Don't tell everyone. It was a pretty good ride, though. I don't really care for the new Camaros. There's lots of blind spots, and I don't know. It just doesn't do it for me. But, you know, it was a convertible. It was fun. It was there, so I drove it home. I didn't have to return it until later Friday evening, so we ended up taking it to soccer practice. Well, on the way to soccer practice, the bottom fell out of the sky while we had the convertible top down.
That's why you don't own a convertible in Indiana.
Well, you know, it's not that bad normally, but we could see it off in the distance, and we thought, you know, a few sprinkles here and there, not so bad. We're on the interstate. They wash over, you know.
And now we have a mobile pool.
Just about the time we turned off the interstate, just seriously, the bottom fell out of the clouds. We had to pull over and put the top up. It got so bad you could barely see a car length in front of the car.
Wow.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, not so much.
I've done that while with fog on the way to work. That was great.
Yep.
It's almost just as the world just opens up in front of you as you go.
Yep.
Now, I'm going to ask a question here. You said it didn't do it for you, but it was fun.
You can have fun in something and it not be your cup of tea.
Yeah, it was fun to drive. You know, the whole sports car. It's a little bit of fun. I wouldn't buy one. It would not be my car of choice.
It's okay. And I'm kind of the same way when it comes to like off-road trucks or whatever. I mean, I have a 4x4 truck, but it's more 4x4 for utility. But I am at my core a car, go fast, handle good driver, as opposed to just a getting from A to B.
Sure, that's what you tell us now.
But what are you trying to say?
Nothing at all.
Okay.
Anyway, so Saturday was soccer. We had a few of our players away on vacation.
I was wondering, I saw something about a reduced team size.
Reduced team size and epic loss. Yeah, so we had enough players missing that we didn't have enough for substitutes until about... probably about two-thirds of the way through the game when a couple players turned up late. Yeah, we ended up losing, I don't know, I lost count of the other team's score at about 8.
Brilliant.
Yeah, not so much.
How'd the boys take it?
You know, disappointed.
They still got a free snow cone at the end of the game.
They got snacks. No, they were disappointed, but, Took it all fairly well in stride. The boys had a birthday party to go to, so we went and played some mini golf, and then I played paintball. That was my weekend.
Are you
still
any?
Got some bruises.
Are you any closer to pulling the trigger, so to speak, pun intended?
Oh, nice.
On the Tippmann.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Fair deal. Well, speaking of paintball, I've been working on my prototype mask. I've got it fiberglass. I've got the initial part fiberglass reinforced and a few layers of body filler on. I did some sanding on it tonight to kind of shape and take down some of the high points in the body filler. Don't know if I'll get to the mold making process this weekend, but I hopefully should have it fairly well shaped and sanded and all that kind of good stuff by the end of the weekend. So that's kind of my goal there. Last weekend, we went and saw a few movies, which we will get to in, obviously, the movies section.
Mm-hmm. Movies!
I have mentioned that my daughter and I are doing the martial arts thing. We kind of started later in their split between testings. Well, that kind of sounds... inappropriate, to test for the next levels. And they just had a test like the 19th, I think, of August. Not August, July. And I told the head guy that, you know, is there any way that we can test ahead of the next scheduled option, which was in September, because my daughter and I have got a pretty good grasp of what we need to know to test. So after a little bit of talking, we worked out and we actually tested last night and passed flying colors, although my daughter had a little bit of an issue breaking some of the basic boards with her kicks, so we'll have to work on that a little bit. But we have ascended to the next step and are continuing that little endeavor, so that's fun.
So awesome. Much testing.
So the much testing. The head guy...
Yeah.
That's the official name?
That's the official name. Yeah, the head guy. No, his name is Josh. He goes by Mr. Josh, which is interesting. Last name is Mr. McKellen. I tried to refer to him in the pure formality, which is the culture for Taekwondo. But it seems like in the last 20 years, a lot of the formality has faded. I don't know if it's parents getting mad that their kids are being held to a high standard, or people got tired of just correcting the kids all the time because they weren't doing it. But either way, it's something that's no longer expected so much that I'm trying to hold on to, because that's how it was when I did it as a kid.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought there was some official formal name for the head guy.
In Japanese, it's a sensei. I'm not sure what the true title or name for an instructor in Korean is and how that ties with Taekwondo, but he is a third or fourth degree black belt. he's competed in a bunch of national tournaments and all that stuff. And he and his father founded the studio. So I'm not sure if dojo is technically the right word because it's it being Korean. And his father passed away some years ago with, I think, a heart issue. But so he and his mom run it now, and they've been doing all right so far. So,
alrighty.
Trying to think what else what happened over the weekend, and I don't think too much. Saturday we did the movies. Sunday I don't think we really. Nothing too much on the plate. I'm looking over at Wade, looking for any type of feedback or anything.
I'm trying to think myself. I mean, the only thing we could really figure, only I could really think about is the car, but, you know, that's a whole nother issue for a whole nother time.
Yeah. Well, we can go into it.
Short version. Cliff Notes.
Cliff Notes.
Yeah.
Let's see. Cliff Notes version. The
just replaced the front tires and the driver's side rearview mirror, or sorry, passenger side rearview mirror. Only to find out there may be a leak in power steering fluid and the thermostat as well as faulty.
So again. We all know that Wade's had his issues with his own car and it's been in the shop forever, which is sort of kind of being dealt with through the courts. So he's driving my mom's old car, which is a Dodge Durango. And we've kind of been neglecting it because we're not planning on keeping it. But since Wade's had to drive it, it's needing some work to stay drivable.
Nice.
So we had to drop that off at the shop tonight. Hopefully we can get that back Saturday for some stuff we got going on this weekend. And fingers are crossed there.
Sounds like fun.
Wade, did you have anything you wanted to address on your few days off?
No, not really. I mean, the main highlight is the movies for me, and I usually just record on Thursday, Friday when I have the place to myself.
Well, with that, let's jump right into the movies. So, coming out this past weekend, obviously we had Guardians of the Galaxy, which pulled in number one at 90... Let's see, where is that? There it is. $94 million against its $170 million budget.
It's not a bad start.
No, I mean, they're... And that, again, that's just domestically. I have no idea what the international, you know...
What it'll end up pulling in.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's...
Yeah.
Pretty good.
So, and Lucy pulls in number two at $18.3 million, again, against its $40 million budget, which we knew they exceeded in week one. So that's looking pretty on that one.
Sheer profit.
Get On Up, the James Brown movie, pulled in $14 million. I do not have its budget on hand. It was not available last week. And Hercules in fourth, pulling in 10.7 against its $110 million budget. And Hercules. We have no honorable mentions this week of note that I can recall, which is probably right. And coming out this week, we have the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, which currently only has a 44% critic rating, so that's not promising. That's got a $125 million budget. Step Up All In, it's got a 57% critic rating. And I'm guessing this has a $26.2 million budget. According to Wikipedia, it had a box office value in there, so I think that's a typo. Unless this was released previously internationally. I'm not sure.
Now, Michael Bay is doing Ninja Turtles, right?
I think so.
Huh. I'm kind of wondering how his cinematic artistic vision will work without lens flares. Sun flares, anyway.
No, this is a... Unless Michael Bay produced it, this is a Jonathan Liebsman directorial production. So I don't show Michael Bay in this at all at this point. There are some notable names in this, though. I mean, Will Arnett's in it, Megan Fox, William Fichtner, which you may not recognize the name, but you would definitely recognize the face. He's been in movies like Aeon Flux, and he was in the Matt Damon Elysium.
Ah.
He played the rich guy in Elysium.
Oh, the one that's like, don't breathe on me.
Yeah, the one that they hacked his brain. That
okay.
Guy. Johnny Knoxville, amongst a few others. So that's Turtles. But we moved on from that. Also coming out this week, we have Into the Storm. This has got no critic rating yet, but this is about a group of, I believe it's college students, researching a megastorm, only to realize the storm has only just started. Now they're caught in the middle of it. That, you might recognize Lori from The Walking Dead, the mother who they dies in season like 4. She's in it. And then lastly is The 100-Foot Journey. This is a 56% rating. This is a story about an Indian family who moves to, I believe, Britain, or it could be France. Forget. I read it yesterday. And they open up a restaurant and across the street from another restaurant, and that causes some
turf war.
Cultural kind of turf war issues there. But I'm sure all ends well. So go ahead and check that out if you're looking for something a little bit more tugging on the heartstrings.
Marvelous.
We're looking at going to see Turtles this weekend, only because I kind of have to for nostalgia reasons. I was a big fan of the original 3 live-action movies, so I've got to give this one a shot too. But speaking of movies and movie scene, as we mentioned earlier, Wade, why don't you give us a little bit of a rundown of your reactions to the 2 movies that we saw this weekend?
Yep. 2 of whom being Lucy and Guardians of the Galaxy. Actually, staying similarly true, little good, little bad, little both. I mean, each of them could have been better, but they also could have been worse. I mean, Lucy, it's obvious if you're not, was it coherent with the storyline where she gets, well, exposed to a drug that unlocks her brain, and it's kind of let down that they could have done more with her brain ability than what they did. But, you know, do you ever need a reason to go see Scarlett Johansson? I don't.
Correct. Good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel exactly the same way as Wade on this one. I mean, according to right now, and I think previously Lucy had a higher rating, but right now it's sitting at 62%. And it was fairly anticlimactic at the end. It was maybe kind of like a, well, that's an interesting stance that they took, but it wasn't, there was no wow factor at the end of it.
I mean, it's actually kind of funny that you could watch Lucy and then go watch her. It's almost like a,
they could be on the same same kind of time frame. It's really interesting.
You'll see. Yeah, the connection.
I mean, as this drug is unlocking the potential for the brain capabilities, whereas the premise of the movie is that man only uses 10% of the brain. And so what could a man do, mankind, a human being do, if a full 100% of your brain capacity was able to be utilized from a cognitive point? And so where they kind of ended, I don't know, it's just kind of strange. Like Wade said, it's not a bad movie, but you're not going to be wowed by it either. So
yeah, there definitely more could be there.
Yeah. So I wonder if things were shortchanged due to its only $40 million budget. And with Guardians of the Galaxy, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm not a fan of the comic books, and those who are might get more out of it, but it felt like a comic book. You know, whereas Avengers had a lot more realism and maybe relatability. I think Guardians, it didn't really have that. It was just a show of bright colors and flashy lights.
And Tree Men. And Tree Man.
Tree Man. I mean, there were some funny lines, a few funny lines in there, but I think overall, I don't know if it's necessarily hype or grand expectations from Marvel or what, but
get ready for some classic music classic rock music, because that is played.
Yeah, the entire soundtrack is like 80s music. Nice. And they explain why, but that's what's going on.
Yeah, there's a definite reason why for that. But, I mean, do we expect some cheese in that? I mean, there was some cheesy things.
Yeah.
Like, I can't really give an accurate description of what particular events, but yeah, there definitely was.
Yeah, but I think the big thing with this movie versus the other ones is that Guardians of the Galaxy almost requires you to be a fan of that comic book series and the storylines leading up. Whereas with the Iron Man movies and into Avengers, Hulk, Thor. They don't require you to have any previous knowledge of the comic books and whatnot. You can just watch the movie standalone. But yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy definitely has that undertone of you should know what's going on up to this point.
And if you don't know what's going on, what's the matter with you?
Pretty much. I mean, that's like taking the stance of we shouldn't have to explain this. So if you don't know, go figure it out and come back.
Which is an interesting tact on, you know, doing it that way. I can see the benefits to both sides.
I mean, it's not completely that way, but it has more of a vibe in that direction than, say, the Avengers series of movies.
Here's the thing, is that if you go to the statistics of Guardians of the Galaxy merchandise before this movie was announced to when it was released, and see how much that, if that sale has increased, because people start wanting to know because of the way they set that up.
Yeah, it's an option.
But, you know, what I've seen in this recently, to the what past 5 years, is that everything, you know, you would be called a nerd for knowing, is the mainstream now.
Yep.
Iron Man, Thor, Avengers,
the X-Men,
Guardian, star. X-Men, you know, yep, just to name a few.
So I have to make a slight confession here, and that's when I heard the title of this movie, the first thing I thought of was, didn't they just do this movie? It was with Santa Claus and Easter Bunny.
It's funny you say that. Apparently there was a big hiccup. It was on the news last week that people were, you know, spending and buying tickets to see Guardians of the Galaxy, and the movie that was airing was The Guardians, the Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, all that stuff. So somebody somewhere put the wrong file on the wrong hard drive or grabbed it off the wrong shelf and hit play, and people who were expecting to see Guardians of the Galaxy saw, or at least saw the openings of an animated movie that is not what they paid for. So, yeah, oops. Big time.
This is why we don't abbreviate our titles.
That's it.
We have the Guardians of, like, 27 movies.
Yeah. So with that, though, I think let's jump into some news.
And an interesting development this week coming from Australia, my home country, we can finally start putting those wonderful selfies that everybody's taking to good use. A couple medical students have won a global competition hosted by Microsoft after inventing an app that allows you to take a selfie of your eye to determine if you're anemic. Gerald Sia and Jennifer Tang from Melbourne's Monash University won the prize after their entry beat 34 other teams. They got to have a private meeting with Bill Gates and $50,000 cash.
Sweet.
A bad prize.
I mean, the drunk texting and calling app didn't go through?
Huh?
To call out to the internship.
Yeah, that was...
Sorry, missed that one.
Yeah, that was far-reaching and no payoff.
Damn.
So, they said the concept from the idea came from them doing their... essentially, they were sent out to remote hospitals and clinics to do some work, you know, as part of their studies. And they discovered that, you know, remote medicine is not all it's cracked up to be. And there were people suffering from anemia that weren't getting diagnosed because the closest clinic that could screen for anemia was hours away. To put their technical and medical skills to use and come up with an app that could do it remotely. I'm sure the usual disclaimers, you know, apply, that this does not take the place of proper medical care, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, if you've got no other option and you're out in the middle of nowhere and just need a quick, hey, you might want to see a doctor about this, I think this is an awesome use of technology.
Now, what is anemia? Just so to fill in for everyone else.
That is a very good question, and I'm glad you asked that question. I think it's important that we
think anemia is like a malnutrition thing.
Hold on, I'm looking it up so I get it absolutely correct.
Because if you're anemic, you know, suffering from anemia, I think that's what...
It is a decrease in the amount of red blood cells, or the amount of hemoglobin in the blood.
Way wrong.
Way wrong.
Go sit in your corner.
Yes.
I'm going to go sit in my
Go get your dunce hat. And...
No. I took a stab at it. I was wrong.
So there's three main types of anemia. Due to blood loss, due to decreased red blood cell production, and due to increased blood cell breakdown. So blood loss can come from trauma. Decreased production can come from iron deficiency.
Okay.
And increased breakdown can be from genetic conditions like sickle cell anemia or malaria.
It's actually funny, neither of us really knew what anemia was when we were both talking about that Plague Incorporated game. And that's one of the options you can evolve your illness, is to have anemia or anemic properties.
I knew it had something to do with the blood.
There you go.
A lot of diseases.
You were more
do.
Right than I was.
Point to me.
Yep.
So.
You get a gold star.
I just think it's awesome that, you know, they put their medical and technical skills to work and came up with this awesome, essentially like an early warning device.
Yeah, no, exactly. I dig it. Well, staying on the topic of health and wellness and all that, there is a new pill out which can help treat and potentially cure hepatitis C. This is highly regarded as a medical breakthrough, but it's also scaring people. Not because of any of the drug's side effects or any issues in that side, but the fact that the pill itself is $1,000 a pop.
That's not a jar, people. That is a single pill.
Yeah.
That's a difficult price to swallow. Thank you.
They're saying that a typical treatment for taking care of and alleviating hepatitis C for an average person works out to be about $84,000.
Wow.
And I'm not sure how insurance plays into that, but...
I'm sure everything they can to pay zero.
There is an estimated 3.2 million people in the United States who may be suffering from a hepatitis C or a variant thereof, which is pretty substantial. For those, to touch base though, for those who are unaware, hepatitis C is something that attacks the liver. And over decades, infected people end up with liver damage, complications including joint pain, kidney disease, and a small number get cirrhosis or liver cancer.
So, it's interesting how the different letters have vastly different meanings.
Yeah, Hep A, Hep B, and Hep C.
Yeah, hepatitis A is, you know, fairly widespread and common, and you usually get it through, or it usually exhibits through food poisoning, and you recover naturally. Hepatitis B is a little worse, and there are medications to treat it, and, you know, a vaccine to cure it, and, or to prevent it. And hepatitis C has pretty much, up until now, been a death sentence.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, that's only one letter different.
Yeah, we're not talking like B to like, I don't know, Hep I.
Why didn't we call it hepatitis Z?
Yeah. Not so bad.
For our international listeners.
A little worse, not so bad, and death. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Shouldn't there be a few more steps in between?
There should be a couple more letters in there. This is really great, though. Apparently we're on a little bit of a medical kick right now. You know, the breakthroughs in technology are just amazing. I think it's awesome. It's a wonderful time to live for that. And, you know, I hope they keep coming.
I agree. I'm only concerned, though, is that, and this has only been a recent kind of development or thought in my head, is we as a culture and society and essentially as a race now are so quick to see an illness and try to treat it by adding something to our bodies in the form of drugs and whatever, and maybe not And it's probably just we understand chemistry more than maybe we understand ourselves. But in doing some mild research and watching some documentaries, which, you know, are only, I see as only partially true, but it seems like a lot of stuff can be A, prevented or alleviated or reduced by purely diet. And right. Yet there's, you know, everyone, all the, obviously the pharmaceuticals have a business to run, and so they want to give you drugs. The doctors make money from prescribing and selling you drugs, so they get a cut of it. So, you know, I understand why it's the way that it is, but it's interesting that there are other methods that can help. I'm not saying that everything can be dealt with a dietary change, but I think that's starting to be a new shift lately, though, and hopefully it catches on, and we're taking less and less drugs and adding to our more or less unbalanced chemistry as it is.
I have a cold. Need to take Sudafed or Advil cold and sinus and all these other things just because of cold. No, just take a sweater before you go out.
Yeah, well, just it's like yeah, you got allergies, you're going to pop Sudafed or DayQuil and drinking all this stuff or consuming this stuff to make you feel better that has its fair share of side effects. They all do. Obviously, allergies is not an illness to be remedied, but it's interesting. You look at that and you look at all the drugs that are out there and the pills and the remedies and you wonder, is all this really necessary?
I like the ones where it's the pill, for a certain pill, it's like, cures itchy eyes, and it's like, side effects, nausea, diarrhea, upset stomach. You're like, I'll just have itchy, watery eyes. Thanks.
I like the one that's it's for women and it's for like low eyelash production. So they have a medication to help you either maintain or help you grow your eyelashes back or have
fuller eyelashes. No, you're making that up.
I swear to God. But the side effects for this are like
hair loss.
Right? Yeah, I mean, just crazy side effects.
Side effects.
And it's like, really, your eyelashes are that important that you're willing to risk like perpetual vomiting or something? Like,
side effect, itchy, watery eyes. That way you're always itching your eyes, making the eyelashes fall out.
It's crazy. And that's another thing, too, is that we're so obsessed with drugs that we're looking to see what we can apply drugs to. Like, hey, we invented this drug to help with diabetes, but look, it helps eyelash growth. Let's market it as that. People forget Viagra was not meant as what it's used for now. That was a determined side effect, and they said, people will buy that. It's a heart pressure medication. That's what it's there for. And now a side effect of taking Viagra, because it's marketed as a...
it's a erectile dysfunction. Yeah,
ED medication. Now the side effect for that is heart pressure or blood pressure. It's like, well, actually it was supposed to do that part. And yeah, okay.
I think it is amazing the chemicals we're prepared to pump into our system. I think there's a difference, though, and a line to be drawn between comfort medications and, you know, more serious things like the hepatitis treatments and vaccines.
Oh, I agree. I'm not sitting here preaching that, hey, don't take this drug, just eat better. That's not what I'm saying, but there's a lot of stuff that does apply to.
Sure.
Anyway, Wade.
Well, in terms of spending too much money, GameStop is offering pre-approved credit cards.
Yay!
Whoop,
whoop. Wait, question? A game store is offering pre-approved credit cards.
Why not? Airlines do it, hotels do it.
Airlines do it, gas stations do it, hotels do it.
I did not know that so many people did it. That kind of
surprised me. Everybody does it.
Best Buy does it, Walmart does it.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I thought that was just like a club card or whatever.
But no,
whatever.
They have credit cards.
Yep.
Anywho, the card is at a 26-point.
GarageBand has detected feedback. Let's just keep monitor on.
It's going to keep coming up and it's going to keep stopping us.
Just keep going.
Where are we? 26.99% APR, which apparently I thought was high, but apparently
yeah, Woohoo, I'll take me none.
Yeah, it's up there. I wonder if that's like an introductory rate, though, or if that's their baseline.
I'm hoping that's their baseline, and as your credit gets better, the rate comes down.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's, you think it's people who shop at GameStop, I mean, let's be honest, aren't really financially responsible.
What are you talking about?
Watch it.
Well, there's a huge range of people that shop at GameStop. What you just said is that gamers don't know how to manage their money. That is what you just said. Well, that's you. That's not everybody.
I think it's true that some don't.
Okay, that, you know what? I'd say that pro is probably a bit too broad.
There you go.
But there is a significant portion, I believe.
Okay.
So, you know, with people who are just starting out,
yep,
with a credit card, you think, I can go and buy, you know, whatever now. You're putting a $60 game on credit, which then you don't realize with this somewhat high APR, that it's going to come back to haunt you pretty quick.
Well,
along with all credit.
Here's the deal with a credit card, though. You're only penalized if you are either A, irresponsible, or slacking in making your payments. If you only pay the minimum payment on your credit card, yeah, you're boned. It doesn't matter what you buy, whether it's a $5,000 TV or a $60 game, you are going to pay ridiculous amount of money to cover that. If you pay it all off right away, or half of it right away and half the next month, then you're only paying a little bit of interest and it's not really a big deal.
No, but 29% or 26.9% is still a, you know, a fairly steep interest rate.
Correct, yeah. The article here says it's 26.99, which is roughly double current market average.
Yeah, I that's kind of a little steep. And what are you actually paying for here? I mean, are there any perks? Do I get any free stuff from GameStop? Because if it's just a GameStop branded card, I can use my existing, you know, Visa card there.
Yeah,
sure. And I mean, it looks like with the if you have a pro membership, so if you pay their annual, what is it, $20 or something like that?
Yeah, probably.
Sure.
For their annual membership, you get added rewards points, which I'm not really sure what those are good for. I know
free
that
stuff online.
Free swag.
Free stuff. I know with the pro membership, you get discounts on used games. But this is not saying that there's any tier to this based on your individual credit rating. So it looks like it doesn't matter what you go with, that it's going to be a 26.99% interest rate. Now, again, if you buy a $60 game and you pay it off that same month, then you're not going to pay anything.
Yep.
If you buy an Xbox One and a PS4 and
if you go,
you know,
to
now
town,
you've got
then,
you know, $1,000 in debt, and you're paying the minimum on that for the next 5 years, then yeah, you're screwed. This could be an interesting method, though, for people to, for gamers to budget their gaming. You know, I'm gonna go out and buy Destiny next month, per se, on my GameStop credit card, and I'll put it on that. And now for me, I will not let myself, the responsible mentality for me would be, I'm not going to let myself buy another game until I've paid this one off. If I want to average the expense of this game over a year and only pay whatever, mm-hmm, as long as you hit your minimum payment, then that's your problem. Yeah, you're going to pay a lot more interest in that and it's going to cost you a lot more. Or if you pay it off in a week and you free it up, then great. So, I mean, there's that factor, which you could take that stance on it. It's no different than any other credit card, but if it's
sure,
a GameStop exclusive,
you can get plenty of other credit cards with lower credit or lower interest rates.
Agreed. Yes.
Plenty of others.
And the article, I didn't read in depth. I just scanned it right now, but it sounds like it is a GameStop exclusive card, not like a Visa card with a GameStop, you know, rewards package
it
to it. So
sure.
I mean, you have to be a member of their pro rewards thing already to actually get this card. So
I don't think so.
In one that I saw that you actually had to be.
They said that this one said something like, if you're a basic member of their deal, you get like a $5,000 reward bonus or 5,000 point reward. And if you're a pro member, you get like 15,000 points. Mm. But that's...
I do remember seeing something that you actually had to be a pro member for it.
Well, different articles may have different info based on speculation.
So, you know, the interesting thing about this, though, is the lock-in that it creates. You know, I'm having to get a branded credit card that introduces the possibility for me to be reckless, which all cards do, granted. That's not, you know, correct, unique to this. Yep. But there is that, plus the fact that I can only use it at your store, plus the fact that you're charging an outrageous interest rate. For what benefit? Not a whole lot. I think I will skip the points and pay less money.
Well, this is definitely, you know, a very decent look on this, considering that there has been shown statistics that pre-orders are actually, pre-order numbers are going down. Less and less people are pre-ordering
sure,
from brick and mortar from stores, because they can just get things digitally and it's ready at midnight.
Yeah, I mean, the trends which have been around in the PC gaming world, where why buy the hard game when I can just download the digital version and have it immediately versus, you know, having a disc that can get scratched or whatever, is becoming a trend now with the consoles too. They're having bigger hard drives. Obviously, they're internet connected. That's the way it's going down. We were looking at getting Destiny, and one of the options was I could buy it from the PlayStation Store and just download it. And come September 9th, when the game goes live, I would then have access to play it. Yep.
Instead of, you know, oh, well, we got to go stop by the store to pick up Destiny. It was, nope, straight home and turn on the PlayStation.
But the interesting thing is I'm opting out of that factor. I'd rather have the disc, because these hard drives in these consoles, especially the PS3, is not all that big. I've had to wipe old data in order to install the software for a new game. So, and who knows how long you would retain rights to that game on the digital factor, whereas having a disc, you've always got it. So,
sure.
I don't know. I guess I'm traditional in that sense of not trusting the digital aspect yet, because the companies behind it, to me, still have some degree of control.
And they have had a tendency in the past to really mess with us.
Yeah, whereas having the game on hand, it's... Yeah, I may not be able to get the new updates or something like that, but I should still be able to play it wherever, whenever. So.
Yep.
But yeah, on a side note, though, from the credit standpoint, having dealt with the credit world at an earlier job, Wade mentioned, and so bringing it back, that for those people that may have had issues with their credit, or have no credit and are finding it hard to get a credit card to establish credit, this may be an option. And all introductory cards like that are going to have a high interest rate. If these truly are a pre-approved card, here you go, you're your own worst enemy, then it can be a tool for people to either build or reestablish credit.
I think there's a better avenue, like a secured card from the bank.
There are. I'm not saying this is the only one, but I'm saying it's an option. Those secured cards at the bank are still 20-22% interest rate, so it's not a huge difference, but you can use those anywhere versus only GameStop. So
that has more versatility than a GameStop lock card.
I'm just merely saying it's an option.
Yeah, but I'd rather get a card that I can use everywhere, not just one, because I already have too many things in my wallet already.
You don't need one more thing that's only good,
yeah,
for
only
one
good
place.
At one place.
Yeah.
Still have, like, Buffalo Wild Wings coupons.
Anyway, moving on.
All right. So, I believe it's this week the Black Hat Security Conference is going on, which is where the elite hackers from around the world gather to talk shop, compare notes, talk about what's going on in the world of computer security.
Global domination.
Global domination. Interesting thing that came out, hit the news today. This is by way of VentureBeat. One of the presentations was about the TSA, our beloved Transportation Security Authority.
Huh. I know
who's
them.
In charge of securing the airports, like the ones that Wade works at.
Yep, I have to talk to him every day.
Yep. So they've been in and out of the news, a little bit of a joke, really, for the level of security they provide. But, you know, they talk a good game. So one of the presentations that was made at Black Hat, and the link will be in the show notes, talks about how the security researcher decided to take a look into some of the equipment that they use. Specifically, he was able to purchase the equipment they use is not unique to them. They buy it from vendors.
Oh yeah.
So he was able to purchase a Rapiscan X-ray machine and I just had it here. I've got my notes up, but I can't find the name of it. It is the little sniffing testing machine that tests for explosive compounds.
Okay.
He was able to get a hold of one of each of those and got to playing with them, tore them apart, looked at the software, and it's a Morpho itemizer. Now, the itemizer has since been discontinued and been replaced with a newer model. However, in his analysis, he was able to find that one of the problems that these companies, and it's not unique to these companies, but appliance companies, shall we say, right? These are computerized devices, but they're not designed to be used as computers. You install them and they do their thing.
Correct.
Well, the problem is, sometimes the programmers, I don't know if it's laziness or if it's,
constraint.
I really don't know why you would do this, because it's just a stupid security thing. They have technician backdoors.
Yeah.
To where, you know, manufacturer representatives or service technicians can log into these machines and work on them with, you know, their own password, regardless of whatever security the TSA has set up.
Awesome.
So he was able to reverse engineer these commercially available devices that we, you know and
rely on.
Give or take reliability, trust for our security every day, and was able to figure out the back door and was able to do some fairly interesting things from a testing standpoint. Now, obviously, he did not have authorization, nor did he attempt, for fear of jail time, hacking into actual real TSA equipment. But it is just interesting that these commercially available devices come with such security holes in them.
Yeah, I understand that technicians should be able to gain access one way or another, but for it to be such a gaping hole for someone who has half a brain in the computer world to be able to figure out.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, how long does this take, considering, I know, you know, computer hackers are quite speedy individuals, but still, how long does it take to get in there? Because I don't see someone sitting there through the TSA line doing the hacking, trying to get something through their scanner.
Oh, sure. That is a problem. But for a determined nefarious bad guy, who says you have to be doing it while you're sitting there? If you can just get access to it, then you could be logging in remotely and manipulating this from the comfort of your own couch before you even step foot in the airport.
Yeah, or you could have someone sitting in a lobby doing it while someone else is...
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
You know, look at it beyond the one person in a group, and absolutely, now you start to really see a significant danger factor.
Well, you know, one guy goes through with a laptop. There's nothing sinister about a laptop, and goes to the airline club or sits in the gate lounge waiting for his plane.
Yep, watching the line for his buddy to go through and
or buddies.
Engage X, Y, and Z, and voila.
Yep, yep. So this is, I think this is significant and just goes into my theory that our biggest advancement in security since 9/11 has been the public awareness of it. The fact that airline passengers no longer just sit there thinking, you know, hey, this hijacking won't go, we'll fly off to some remote airstrip and they'll demand money and the police will come and we're all going home.
Yeah.
That all changed, you know? Now you get up and try anything and half the plane jumps you. Yeah. I think that has done more for airline security than any of the song and dance that the TSA likes to put on.
Yep. Well, speaking of TSA and the airports and stuff, did you see in the news that a gal in San Jose, California, was able to get through TSA without a ticket, board a plane without a ticket, and fly from San Jose to LAX?
And they didn't see that.
They didn't figure it out until they were airborne and the flight attendants did a head count, which I guess they're required to do.
They landed. They had already landed.
Okay.
And that plane was going on. It was like a layover where some people get off, but not everybody, because it was a continuing flight.
Oh, got it.
And some people get on. So she got as far as the next airport and stayed on the plane trying to get further. And that was when they did the headcount and realized, wait, there's more people than there's supposed to be.
Yeah, I guess she said she's trying to get to Hawaii, and apparently this isn't the first time she's attempted. Although I'm not sure if this is the first time that she was successful.
She has gotten through security before. I'm trying to think. I read the article earlier. I think she's gotten through security before. I think she's boarded the plane before without a ticket. But they ran out of seats and realized you're not supposed to be on here.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how that happens. I mean, obviously I don't fly very often. Maybe you could, obviously you can weigh in more on this. But every time I've gone through a TSA check, they look at your ticket and they autograph it. Every time that you get on a plane, they scan your ticket. I mean, you can't just walk right through the ticket scanner unless you're waiting for someone to turn around. So, I mean, obviously, someone who works in the airport, you have your badge, right?
I have a badge, and that's...
they check off?
Yeah, and usually there's 2 to 3 TSA agents checking credentials. I mean, this is ticket, identification.
Yep.
So, you know, you gotta have, you know, lead these to get through. So it's kind of odd to hear how someone got through without a ticket.
Yeah, and the fact that she's gotten through multiple times.
I would have to look more in depth to it. I remember reading an academic paper a couple years back that postulated an idea of how this was possible, that the systems don't all tie together. So the interesting thing to me about this is it says she didn't have a ticket. Now, I don't know how accurately or the wording that the news agencies are using for this. It may be that she didn't have a purchase ticket in her name. She may have been able to steal somebody else's boarding card to get through security, or, you know, you can print them at home.
Sure.
Maybe she was able to get a hold of some, you know, something and doctor one and make her own.
Okay.
They do ask, at least where I work, that, you know, what is your last name? And,
you know, but if she was able to get, say, an older ticket that she had, scanned it in, edited the date or something like that. Obviously, the TSA people at security don't know what flight number and is that flight number really associated with that gate at that time?
Yeah,
they're not going to know that. They're just looking at, does this name match up to
this identity, this driver's license?
And maybe, you know, is this the proper airport they're flying out of? Is this the right ticket? And is the time, does the time make some degree of sense?
Yeah.
Although even that's questionable. There are too many variables to it. They're trying to close those loopholes now with the barcode on the boarding passes. That barcode isn't just a, you know, hey, this is Mr. P. It's actually an encrypted lookup into a database.
Yeah.
You know, when they scan that barcode, it has to decrypt it to verify that it's accurate, that the signature is good, that it's, you know, a valid itinerary.
But I mean, I think when I, on my last flight, the only time that was scanned was at the gate boarding the plane. I don't believe it was scanned at the security desk.
So some places have it at the security desk now.
Okay.
And you're correct. There are still places that just look at it and compare it with your ID and wave you through.
And I mean, with the people that do the automated deal where it's just on your phone, I mean, that's a whole different deal as well. Early check-ins and...
Oh, yeah, there's pre-check where it's, you know, they don't even know that after they look the ticket, it's, you know, go through the metal detector, not the full scan. If there's a strange lump, we're going to have to patch it down there. But they just walk through the metal detector and you're through.
Well, I guess my bigger concern, and we're getting into a rant that's totally off topic, but the whole early check-in thing, I just realized that you can check into the airport from your house now before your flight.
Yeah.
And you got the boarding pass on your phone, you're good. So as far as the airport's concerned, you're there, you're on site. What happens if you get in a car accident between your house and the airport after you've checked in? How long do they hold, you know, obviously they hold a plane for a while, but they can't hold it too long for, well, they're obviously making their calls and last call and, hey.
15 minutes before the flight, if you're not on board, they close the door. Your seat.
Yeah. Your seat is subject to cancellation and given to a standby passenger. It's always fun to hear that when John Smith has got a minute to get to gate 17 and you just see some guy booking it.
Yeah, he's running down the terminal. I'm here! Anyway. But holy crap, we went from security breach to a totally off-topic deal there. Wade, why don't you finish us up with one of yours, and we're getting about the 56-minute mark here, so...
All right, we'll just finish it off with a party.
Woohoo!
Brought to you by Blizzard Entertainment, makers of Diablo everything. 3, Warcraft franchise,
yeah, everything,
Hearthstone, and others. Yep, they will be doing a Warlords of Draenor, which is their upcoming expansion for World of Warcraft party, where they will announce the what they call street date, which is it's the launch date for the expansion. And this party will be held at the Ace Hotel in Los Angeles on August 14th, and the festivities begin at 9:30 a.m. It is free to enter, and every participant in the event receives a Warlords of Draenor beta key.
Awesome.
So, yeah, you get access to the beta if you do go. I will be going, so guess what's going to be on the channel in 2 weeks? that looks like, it sounds like fun. I'm really glad it's on a Thursday. Thus being, if you stayed with us for any decent amount of time, knowing that
your
Wednesday,
weekend.
Yeah, exactly. So it's one of the events that I do get to go to, and it also helps benefit the channel as well.
Wait, does that make it a business expense?
Yeah. Out of his pocket, and
$22 per round trip for on a train.
Out of his pocket,
nice.
Yeah, he can reimburse himself. He just has, needs
that'll,
to expense himself.
Yep.
That's fine.
We need to get a what was it, an invoice?
Yeah, thing? Just make sure you turn in your receipts so that when you review them, you can pay yourself back.
Yep,
sounds perfect. Good. Yep.
Although, there is something to be said that you could keep those, and those could be recorded as a business expense for IRS purposes. I'm just saying.
Okay, so that was supposed to be funny, and now we're off topic. Go ahead, Wade, finish up.
I mean, so it's really kind of cool. Of course, obviously, now we've got the whole thing where, was it, some people are upset that this is where they're holding it, you know, close to Blizzard headquarters down here in Southern California, and I've made this argument again and again. They're not going to schlep all their props and people even halfway across the country. for,
you know,
these things.
It's one of those things, no matter where they hold it, somebody's going to moan.
Yeah, but I mean, L.A. or even San Diego is a pretty major destination for just about anybody. They're big focal points, ports, all that kind of stuff that both make sense on a few different levels. That or maybe Vegas, which is only a four-hour drive, but whatever.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yep. There was talk about bringing the GoPro camera to the event. Do we have a mic for that, by the way?
It's got its built-in mic, and I have a mic attachment for it. I just would have to test it with a few things first.
Ah, perfect. So we might even see some on-site event footage hitting the channel as well, which would be pretty awesome.
Yep. Coming soon to an event center near you.
Yep, they will also be showing some of the, I think, some of the cinematics for Warlords of Draenor as well. So it'll be really cool to be there. They may, I'm not sure, there should be a Hearthstone tournament. That'd be fun to
watch. I believe there is.
You believe there is or isn't?
I think there is.
That'd be cool to see.
I know there's a lot of other stuff going on too in the gaming community, with Hearthstone as a big focal point also. But anyway, either one of you guys got any closing statements?
Nope, that'll do it.
The funny thing is, we talked about the Rust guys last podcast, and how they had another prototype going. Well, they have released another one. It's this cross between tennis and Street Fighter, so let that rock around in your minds.
So if you guys followed us last week, we talked about the creators of Rust causing an uproar with not completing Rust but working on another game. Well, they've now announced yet another game on top of that they're working on. So check it out and be infuriated. It's fine.
Keep on gaming.
That's a wrap.
Wow. And we're out. We here at Abundance of Not do appreciate you listening in, and would also appreciate you sharing us with your friends via the Stitcher Radio app and also iTunes. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and join us at Facebook. Thank you.